Greetings, Info Warriors. Today's date is January 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and this is the Info Wars Nightly News. Join us tonight as we celebrate a great victory as Alex Jones hijacked the Piers Morgan Show.
Tonight on the Info Wars Nightly News, Piers Morgan reveals that silently nodding his head while Alex Jones runs him over with UK crime statistics is all part of CNN's master strategy. Alan Dershowitz says he fears a gun owner with no criminal record.
I don't want that man to have a gun. I wouldn't feel comfortable having an argument with him in his home.
And Rob Dew breaks down how Pierce used deportation to dodge an insightful gun interview. All that in James Holmes' Prescription Drugs, coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
So last night was utterly amazing. I was in New York for less than 24 hours, flew in with Alex. First we had the confrontation with the TSA, sent those pictures to Watson. We're going to have video of that tomorrow. Of course, fly on the plane, we land, all of a sudden we're on Drudge. I mean, that's the amazing power of the new media and the news, and that is why the dinosaur media are quaking in their boots together. And, boy, they really got a taste of their own evil medicine last night as Alex Jones laid it all out, laid the whole plan out for everybody who wanted to listen, who actually cares about this country to hear, and it's the biggest news story in America. I mean, I don't even know who won the BCS championship bowl, and not that I really cared, but, let's get on with the show. First article here, and you can find this on InfoWars. Alex Jones battles Piers Morgan over gun rights, and there it is, twit versus wit. And we're going to go to this first clip here. And, I mean, just being in the green room watching it, I taped the whole thing there, and the energy was amazing. And I could hear people scurrying back and forth between segments, whispering, talking. And, well, let's just go to the clip right now, and then we'll come back and analyze
it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
And that was just the beginning of the interview. It gets way better. Go out and find it on YouTube. I think we have the whole thing posted at InfoWars.com titled Alex Jones Battles Piers Morgan Over Gun Rights. It was epic. It was historic. And it was great to see Piers get a taste of his own medicine because, you know, if you watch the Larry Pratt interview, he ran all over Larry Pratt, calling him a little man, calling him stupid. I mean, just screaming at the guy as he was just pouring out calm statistics and facts over and over again. And this time he got a taste of his own medicine. And I think he was expecting it. I don't think he was expecting all of it, especially by the end of that second segment where Alex went into his British accent and just kept laying it out. I mean, he went straight into the accent and just kept laying out more and more and more. More ammunition for us to fight these gun-grabbing globalists. And I just think it was amazing. Melissa Melton has a whole kind of breakdown of the entire interview. Her article is titled, Alex Jones to Piers Morgan, You're Not Going to Take Our Guns. So it starts off, Piers asks, why do you want to deport me? And Alex goes into, we did it to point out the Second Amendment. And that's kind of how we do things at InfoWars. We take stuff that's out in the mainstream media and we identify with it and we grab it and then we add what is really going on, the true, you know, we do put a spin to it, but it's a spin of this is what's really going on, America. This is what's happening, and this is not what the mainstream media is talking about. They don't talk about globalism. Or if they do, they talk about how it's great and how it's going to bring more jobs, which it never does. It just takes jobs away, and it lets giant banks come in and run our country. It goes on how DHS, Alex brought up how the DHS has bought another 200,000 bullets on top of the 1-point-something billion that they already have, in addition to their armored SWAT trucks, their bulletproof guard shacks, and their 24 Predator drones. And DHS is just one entity that is being armed. He talked about the FBI crime statistics, how they've gone down over the last 5 years, and we're going to go over more of that later. And here's another piece he brought up. The Food and Drug Administration has admitted that prescription medications kill over 100,000 people every year. Oh, and how even hospital infections kill people, more people than guns. And more lives are taken by suicide when it comes to guns. And most of the gun violence is, in fact, gang violence, which is being propagated by this fake war on drugs. Most of, I would say probably 90% of those gang wars are over drug turf. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I don't even have a statistic to back it up. But that's what it's about. It's about drug turf, and that's most of the gun violence is gangs shooting each other, which is sad because these are young men all over America that could be doing something better with their lives than shooting each other. But that's the way they chose to live. Moving on, he goes into democide, the 290 million people that were killed by governments in the last century. And then he goes, I'm here to tell you, 1776 will come in if you try to take our firearms. And I like this towards the end. While Alex has garnered criticism for his demeanor on Piers' show last night, America is facing a dark hour. If someone's house is on fire, the time for calm discussion is long past. It's time to bang on the door, yell and scream, raise the house, and get people to listen to help save lives. And a few years ago, this is before, this is the first house I bought back in, I don't know, 99. I'm definitely pro home ownership. Anyway, our neighbor's house caught on fire. And me and my other neighbor saw it happening. Well, he ran over. He didn't knock on the door politely and say, hey, your house is on fire. Luckily, no one was in the house at the time. But it was started up in the attic. It was a heater unit that went off. He kicked in that front door, and we went in there yelling, looking for people. And we got out. We weren't harmed at all. But you don't knock on the door, ring the doorbell, look in the window, see if anyone's there. No, you kick in the door and you warn people. And that's what Alex was doing. He was kicking in the door to the people out there who are asleep watching CNN, clicking their channel, tired, in a zone. And Alex was a bolt of lightning that if anybody was watching, anybody even with half of their head screwed on straight, woke up and started paying attention. They may not have liked everything he said. They may not have liked his demeanor. But you know what? It's got people talking. And people are talking about this today. And he got all the information out there. Well, not all the information that he wanted to get, but he got a lot of information out. We were going over different points that he wanted to cover. And I think if he would have got that third segment in, he would have got to everything, especially going after Dershowitz. We're going to cover that in a little bit. Moving on. This is Piers Morgan night. Alex Jones, best night of television ever. And that's from John Rappaport, and that's also on Infowars.com. He crashed the television party in a way it's never happened before. This was one man attacking the whole rotting corpse of major media, attacking the fascist of the federal government, attacking the psychiatric pharmaceutical cartel for dispensing drugs that cause people to kill other people, attacking the host of the show for daring to come to these shores with his putrid put-on Brit arrogance, attacking the brain-dead premise that fewer gun murders equal a far better nation. Case in point, England, that has a violent crime rate that's going off the charts. Swearing an oath that the U.S. government will not disarm its citizenry. And Alex made all this happen in just the first 7 minutes of the interview. That was the first segment. It broke through the fake civility, the moronic, pundit-driven, stacked to the ceiling with utter BS news programs like a car driving through a showroom window at 80 miles an hour. Better words could not have been written. Great job, John Rappaport. And you can check out that article at Infowars.com. Moving on, Steve Watson. Deluded Piers Morgan compares himself to John Lennon. He's running around licking his wounds today, how he's playing a victim like he never talks over anybody, or he never steps on people or calls them names. And Alex didn't even call him a name except for a red coat. And I think he called him a Jolly Roger at one point, or said, put on your Jolly Roger uniform. A lot of people like that, like calling him a pirate. That's what he is. Jones marched past the TSA threats of arrest, got onto a plane to New York, walked into the CNN building, and proceeded to give the British subject a verbal lathering he will never forget. Today, every single major publication and TV station in the U.S. and Britain is reporting on the confrontation. Of course, CNN is not used to this level of attention. The viewers, Jones' appearance has brought the channel will provide a temporary spike and an otherwise flatlining ratings picture. If Piers Morgan expected a civilized debate with Jones, perhaps he should have treated his previous guests, such as Gun Owners of America director Larry Pratt, with a modicum of respect rather than flat out calling him an unbelievably stupid man and an idiot for expressing his opinion that he did not adhere to. And this is back in December 19th when this happened. Go back and watch that interview. Look how Piers Morgan treated a man who was being very dignified and very civil and just laying out the facts. The interview will speak for itself. I mean, he yells at him completely. It's ridiculous. And this one, this really gets to me. Piers Morgan, friend of drone assassin Obama, calls Alex Jones scary. And this is after he got him off the show. They kicked him off after that. They promised him a third segment. And let me tell you, they begged to have him come to New York. They really wanted him there because they thought they were going to walk him into a trap and parade victims and victims' families in front of him. And, you know, it's sad that those people had to have their lives lost. But you know what's sad? Even sadder, that the government goes around and makes these gun-free zones where people can't arm themselves and protect themselves from crazy people. Because, like it or not, there's crazy people out there. And the solution that the pharmaceutical drug industrial complex has come up with is drug people, drug people, drug people, and not really treat the person. So what happens? People flip out. Anyway, moving on. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. Piers Morgan, who regularly hangs out with the architect of drone strikes, which have killed almost 200 children, really took the biscuit when he called Alex Jones scary in a Politico interview following last night's already infamous CNN confrontation. In a Politico interview released today, Morgan remarked, "That kind of vitriol, hatred, and zealotry is really quite scary. I didn't feel threatened by Jones, but I'm concerned that someone like him has that level of influence," adding, "There's got to be a level of discourse that can raise above what happened last night. It was undignified and unedifying." I agree, Piers. You are undignifying and unedifying. Coming to our country and telling us that we have to give up our guns so crazy people can shoot us whenever they feel like it. Because what happens is when there's gun bans, criminals don't turn in their guns. They keep them. And then they start running the streets and they start running wild. The only thing that keeps them in check is an armed populace and people who know how to responsibly use firearms. So right now, I want to go to a video that I put together. We played it a couple weeks ago, and it's called Obama Orders Children Murdered. And you can see it at Prison Planet Live, and it's got almost 150,000 views. It's on Prison Planet Live right now. It's called Obama Orders Children Murdered. And basically what I did was put a graphic up for every time there was a child or a number of children killed in the different drone strikes or different massacres that were done by U.S. troops or NATO troops or any type of Western group that's going into these places, especially Pakistan. It's really sad. We're not even at war with Pakistan, yet we've killed nearly 200 children in that country with our drone strikes. So you have to ask yourself, you know, Piers Morgan getting up and using these 20 dead children in Sandy Hook as a pretext to come and take our guns when we have Obama, who is just going hog wild with the drones, not asking for drone control from Obama, just let him, oh, that's okay, because he's on my side, and he wants to take the guns, and that's really what we're after. We're really after the guns, and it's not for saving children. No, it's not for that. It's for control. So we're going to go to that video right now.
We gather here in memory of 20 beautiful children and 6 remarkable adults. They lost their lives in a school that could have been any school, in a quiet town full of good and decent people that could be any town in America. Here in Newtown, I come to offer the love and prayers of a nation. I can only hope it helps for you to know that you're not alone in your grief, that our world, too, has been torn apart, that all across this land of ours, we have wept with you. We've pulled our children tight. And you must know that whatever measure of comfort we can provide, we will provide. As a community, you've inspired us, Newtown. In the face of indescribable violence, face of unconscionable evil, you've looked out for each other. And you've cared for one another. And you've loved one another. This is how Newtown will be remembered. And with time and God's grace, that love will see you through. But we as a nation, we are left with some hard questions. And we learned that our most important job is to give them what they need to become self-reliant and capable and resilient, ready to face the world without fear. And we know we can't do this by ourselves. It comes as a shock at a certain point where you realize no matter how much you love these kids, you can't do it by yourself. That this job of keeping our children safe and teaching them well is something we can only do together with the help of friends and neighbors, the help of a community, and the help of a nation. And in that way, we come to realize that we bear responsibility for every child because we're counting on everybody else to help look after ours. That we're all parents, that they're all our children. This is our first task, caring for our children. It's our first job. If we don't get that right, we don't get anything right. That's how, as a society, we will be judged. And by that measure, can we truly say, as a nation, that we're meeting our obligations? Can we honestly say that we're doing enough to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm? Can we claim as a nation that we're all together there, letting them know that they're loved and teaching them to love in return? Can we say that we're truly doing enough to give all the children of this country the chance they deserve to live out their lives in happiness and with purpose? I've been reflecting on this the last few days, and if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no. We're not doing enough. And we will have to change. Since I've been president, this is the fourth time we have come together to comfort a grieving community torn apart by mass shootings. Fourth time we've hugged survivors. The fourth time we've consoled the families of victims. And in between, there have been an endless series of deadly shootings across the country, almost daily reports of victims, many of them children, in small towns and big cities all across America. Victims whose, much of the time, their only fault was being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end. And to end them, we must change. If there's even one step we can take to save another child, then surely we have an obligation to try. In the coming weeks, I'll use whatever power this office holds to engage my fellow citizens, from law enforcement to mental health professionals to parents and educators, in an effort aimed at preventing more tragedies like this. Because what choice do we have? We can't accept events like this as routine. Are we really prepared to say that we're powerless in the face of such carnage? That the politics are too hard? Are we prepared to say that such violence visited on our children year after year after year is somehow the price of our freedom? There's only one thing we can be sure of, and that is the love that we have for our children, for our families, for each other. The warmth of a small child's embrace. That is true. The memories we have of them, the joy that they bring, the wonder we see through their eyes, that fierce and boundless love we feel for them, a love that takes us out of ourselves and binds us to something larger. We know that's what matters. We know we're always doing right when we're taking care of them, when we're teaching them well, when we're showing acts of kindness. We don't go wrong when we do that. That's what we can be sure of. Charlotte, Daniel, Olivia, Josephine, Anna, Dylan, Madeline, Catherine, Chase, Jesse, James, Grace, Emily, Jack, Noah, Caroline, Jessica, Benjamin, Avliel, Allison. God has called them all home. For those of us who remain, let us find the strength to carry on and make our country worthy of their memory.
I encourage you to get that video, Obama orders children murdered, and pass it out to all your gun-grabbing friends and see how they're talking after that, after watching that, because video speaks for itself. Moving on, I don't want that man to have a gun. After CNN ejected Alex Jones following an impassioned defense of the Second Amendment on the Piers Morgan show last night, Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz said Jones is a piece of evidence for the disarmament case by the gun grabbers. And we have a clip from that little transaction of Dershowitz, who's actually supposed to debate Alex. And I'll have a little story when we come back from that clip.
Weapons. And if he got really mad at something I said, or if I disputed his contentions, or I told him he was lying about the FBI statistics, and that he was lying about the claim more guns equal less crime, I would be worried he would grab for his semi-automatic and try to resolve it.
What really?
Wow, so Alex Jones is a liar for bringing up FBI statistics off the FBI's own website, and he's scared of him. Alan Dershowitz is scared of him because he might not agree with him. When, in all reality, Alan Dershowitz is the gun grabber who wants to see people disarmed and be killed. That's what his wish is for, in my opinion. So after, it was funny, after they brought Alex out, I thought he was going to do a third segment, and I was set up in the green room videotaping the television there. I hear, oh, Alan Dershowitz, hey, let's get a picture. Oh, I really like those torture memos you authored. And as Alan Dershowitz is walking by, and the producer starts screaming at Alex, enough, Alex, enough, being real melodramatic, trying to scurry us out of there. Another guy came up to me and said, what are you doing filming? I said, nobody said I couldn't film here. I've been walking around with cameras for 30 minutes. No one said a word. And so it was funny. We weren't the darlings anymore. They weren't treating us all nice with their fake, you know, snobbery and their fake what's the term for it? Just like, oh, hi, how's it going? You know, the second we didn't play by their rules and Alex started talking real and putting it out there, oh, it was like, get out of here. Don't attack our sponsors. Don't do any of that. Get out of here. And what they did was they escorted us downstairs. And before we went in earlier that night, we were walking around. Alex wanted to walk around the cold air a little bit to wake up. And we were approached by several people throughout the night, one of which came up to us twice. And actually, there was a couple that did that. But this guy came, he was looking right at us, and he walks up. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And, you know, I'm really looking forward to tonight. I wanted to get a whole group out here, have a big protest. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, are you planning anything tonight? And we're like, no, we're not planning anything. We're going to do the show. And he shakes our hand, and we walk off, and we go shoot some video, and we're coming back. And all of a sudden, this guy appears right behind us, like, oh, man, go after that Limey, you know, go after him. And really spooky. And Alex had seen other people earlier in the day, and he didn't even mention it to me. I was busy shooting video, looking at the cameras. So then we're on our way leaving CNN. Let's go ahead and roll that clip. Here we are going out the back door, which we asked to go out the front door, and they're like, no, you got to go out this door. And all of a sudden, this guy appears right here, looking right at Alex, and then he walks into the wall. There's a wall right there. He's looking right at Alex, talking into his phone, real quiet, glancing at him, and then he just walks into this area where there's no door. That was all, it was a glass window. The door was a little farther away from where we came out of. He just walks right in there and stops. And it's like, what is this? Very, very peculiar. I mean, is this guy one of the people that was casing us? We thought we were being cased. We get back to the hotel. We shoot one video, pack up our stuff, and we got to Jersey. We took off out of Newark Airport 6:30 this morning. So I've been up since 4:30 this morning, getting about 3 hours of sleep before that because it was a pretty intense night. So if I'm not 100% on right now, that's the reason. But let's look at these gun statistics that Alan Dershowitz said Alex was lying about. Here we go, and this is Paul Joseph Watson put these out yesterday. Inconvenient facts that the gun control lobby cannot answer, and there's the graph right there. You have 1.4 million violent offenses. That's gone down over 200,000 in 4 years or 5 years right there. And Dershowitz said Alex lied about these statistics. And these are the latest figures obtained by the FBI offenses that state violent crime has been falling since 2007. Now let's look at the next slide, which is crime versus guns. You can see crime going down, guns going up. As people get, and this is going up since the 70s. You could see a long history. More people are getting guns. Less people are afraid of guns because they realize it's a tool. It's not something that's going to go out and shoot people and kill people by itself, as Mike Adams demonstrated in a really funny video we played a couple weeks ago. Amongst the top 10 killers in the United States, homicide by firearms is at the bottom of the list, according to the CDC and FBI. Almost 20 times more people die in the United States from medical errors than they do from firearm homicides. Yet there is no outcry to slap draconian regulations on the medical industry. And I believe we have one more graph. Let's go to that one. These are the number of people killed by tobacco, medical errors, unintentional injuries, alcohol abuse, motor vehicle accidents, drug abuse, unintentional poisoning, falls, firearms, way down at the bottom of the list. Way down. Non-firearm homicides, which is with clubs and bricks and baseball bats, that's even more than with firearms. But these people don't care. They don't care about real facts. They just care about getting your guns because that is the agenda. The agenda is to disarm people so they can come in and say, look, you can't build that. You can't do that. Everybody, oh, nobody has jobs. Let's all round you up into the FEMA camps. Oh, I mean freedom camps. And we'll have jobs there for you. We'll be picking up trash and you'll be grooming our stool and all those great things that they like to do. Now let's look at Chicago. There's the last graph on here. This is the number of murders committed with handguns, a place that has draconian gun laws. 40% higher than before the ban on guns. You can see when the ban was enacted in 1981, and now in 2007, oh my goodness, we see a rise in gun crime. So the statistics speak for themselves. Following the hijacking that Alex did of the Piers Morgan Show, Alex Jones is the number one Twitter trend after the CNN confrontation. You can see the United States trends. And Alex Jones is number one, and in the world, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, he's number 7. That's pretty big. Pretty big for a guy that has, you know, shouldn't even be talked about, or now he has too much influence now that he gets on and he's given that area, that arena, that fake arena that they want you to think is so big and so prized. Let me tell you, the green room in the CNN offices did not look very nice, as Alex pointed out. The carpet was faded, the bathroom was dirty. They had a couple machines over there to make coffee that didn't even work. I mean, it's going down. It's going down. They had this weird picture of Fareed Zakaria, kind of looking almost messianic, just like, oh man, very creepy. I'll throw that picture together. And tomorrow, I'm going to edit up the video of Alex confronting the TSA. It's about a 15-minute video, and there's a lot of Alex being detained in the area, the glass area where they do the pat downs, which they didn't do. They brought him over there. They did the beep. They made it beep after he walked through. So then they brought him over to that area and they sat there with him for a while, but they didn't search him. They didn't do the full body pat down. They didn't do any pat down to him. They just kept him there for a while, threatened him a little bit, and then let him go on his way. Moving on. Court filing. Cops seize prescription meds belonging to Batman shooter. Oh, it's what we've been saying all along. These shooters are on meds just about every time. Every time there's a mass shooting, meds. Wow, amazing. While the establishment media continues to blame the Sandy Hook massacre on the Second Amendment, the clear connection between psychotropic drugs and mass shootings continues to be buried. Newly obtained court filings in the murder case against James Holmes show that police seized four bottles of prescription drugs from the Batman shooter's home shortly after the Aurora massacre. They also said his eyes were very dilated and he was listless and unresponsive. That doesn't seem like a guy who went in there and shot all those people with the gun that had the 100-round magazine, but when they found that it only had a little banana clip in it, that's even stranger. And it's even stranger that we haven't seen any of the security footage from that. We haven't seen any security footage from Sandy Hook either. What also? We haven't seen the front door that supposedly the Sandy Hook shooter, Adam Lanza, the alleged Sandy Hook shooter, blasted his way through. No pictures of that. You would think that the media would capitalize on that image, like, here's where the gunman busted through. But no, they're not doing that. Very interesting. Couple more stories. College Park, this is a story we covered back in November, and now it's come back up again. You remember Julie Bass in Michigan who was being threatened for having a garden in her front yard? This is in Orlando. College Park couple says front yard vegetable garden is under fire again. Helveston's, Jason and Jennifer Helveston, launched protest against Orlando's law facing fines. College Park couple, its vegetable garden is on the chopping block again after the city threatened fines if they don't uproot it by Thursday, which they say violates their constitutional right to peacefully use their property to grow their own food. They're going to give them $500 a day fines. After hundreds of emails supporting the couple flowed in and initially allowing the Helvesons to keep their garden, saying it will hold off the violations, the city has since asked the couple to uproot the garden and replace it with a lawn or face fines. The greatest freedom you can give someone is the freedom to know they will not go hungry, said Jason. They will take our house before they take our Patriot Garden. People sound like listeners. We're going to find out. I've sent them an email. Hopefully they'll get back with us and get them on. Jason and Jennifer, we want to get you on to talk about this and let people know how they could help, because our listeners are very vocal, as you can see. And finally tonight, Congress less popular than root canal, cockroaches, and lice, poll says. A new poll showing that Congress is less popular than carnies, root canals, colonoscopies, but more popular than the Ebola virus, meth labs, and gonorrhea. These were findings in the public policy polling survey released Thursday that showed that 9% of the respondents held a favorable opinion of Congress, while 85% said they held an unfavorable view. Well, of course. But these people still keep getting elected. It's amazing how they manage to... Nobody likes what they do, yet over and over again. It seems like the system's rigged. Finally, our quote of the night, quote of the day, from Martin Luther King Jr., "The past is prophetic in that it asserts loudly that wars are poor chisels for carving out peaceful tomorrows." Yet, what do we see? We see our governments telling us that war is the only answer to a peaceful world, and that we have to send drones up in the air and kill children in order to save us from Al-Qaeda, and that we must all be groped by the TSA, which I did get groped in New Jersey coming back home. The guy didn't do a good job, though, but I actually want to thank him for that. He knows who he is if he's watching right now. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. We don't have a guest tonight. We just wanted to cover this Piers Morgan stuff. And, you know, I think it was overall Alex did a kick-butt job. I mean, a lot of people could say how they would have done it better. You don't know until you go into the belly of the beast how you're going to react. And Alex Jones did an exemplary job. I was there. I saw it all firsthand. I saw when they escorted us out after they were being so nice to us at the beginning and how they never mentioned that they were going to have victims' families on. Alex even asked them that. Were y'all going to have victims' families or anything, or any of the kids? Oh, no, no, no. And then what did they start off with? Boom. Victims' families and who are for reasonable gun control. There is no reasonable gun control. Once they start taking one firearm, they're going to start taking them all. That's how it is. So get out there and get your guns and learn how to use them responsibly, because that is the true nature of the Second Amendment. It is not for duck hunting, as Jakari Jackson said in our piece. In fact, let's end with that tonight. Let's end with our call for a new plan tonight as we end tonight. And if you're not a member right now, if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. We have an amazing special right now, $39.95 for a full year. That's it. That's the first year right there. Less than $40, and you can have over 10 people share the passcode at any one time. So you could probably have 20 as long as you're not on at the same time. It's called Operation Wake the Sleeping Giant. You can get that passcode, send it out to the people you love, send it out to the people you know. Say, hey, look, free information. Remember the guy on Piers Morgan? Here's his nightly news show every night. And he's got his day show. You can watch the day show in video and see all the great things. Today we gave the Skeksis Award out to Alan Dershowitz, and he deserved it, because he is a Skeksis. We're going to have more on Alan Dershowitz. Now that he wants to attack us and say we're bad for wanting our guns, we're going to dig up a little bit on Alan Dershowitz and see what he's hiding in his closet. That's it for tonight. I'm your host, Rob Dew. It's been a pleasure doing the news tonight and going up there and accompanying Alex as he hijacked CNN and the Piers Morgan show for just a short time, but just enough of jamming some truth into that transmission, into those airwaves that will reverberate for months to come. Thank you and good night.
Northwoods, Gulf of Tonkin,
Gladio,
Kent State,
Ruby Ridge,
Waco,
Oklahoma City,
the World Trade Center,
the Pentagon,
Shanksville,
Hurricane Katrina,
Fast and Furious.
Fast and furious.
Fast and furious.
How many more?
How many more?
How many more false flags?
How many more?
How many more government buildings?
How many more innocent people?
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
290 million people killed.
Killed.
290 million.
Killed by government.
The government.
The number one killer in history is democide.
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 Death by government.
Look it up.
Go look it up. In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR. 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany. Nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism. Nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government. 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party. As many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
Disarming citizens is democide.
Disarming citizens is democide.
Disarming people is democide.
How many people have died because of Fast and Furious?
No more false flags.
Enough.
Enough.
It's enough.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
It's time.
Demand a plan.
Demand.
Demand a plan.
Demand a plan right now.
As a free human being.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American citizen.
as a patriot.
For your children.
Demand to know why you and your children are forced into gun-free zones while government officials, celebrities, and their children are protected by armed guards.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand to know why the government shipped thousands of guns to Mexican drug cartels.
Demand our government stops blowing up federal buildings.
Demand that our troops stop protecting opium fields in Afghanistan and come home.
Demand the government stop this phony drug war.
Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets with our money.
Demand our government stop poisoning our food supply with genetically modified organisms.
Demand that President Obama stops killing innocent women and children all around the world with his illegal drone attacks.
Demand an end to these unconstitutional wars.
Demand that the TSA stop groping our genitals at the airport.
Demand that the NSA stop illegally spying on all of us all the time.
Demand that toxic fluoride be removed from the water supply.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act like leaders.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
Government-sponsored terror.
And democide.
Democide. Death by government.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
We are sick and tired of our tyrannical government taking away our rights.
Stop stealing our rights.
Our rights.
Our rights.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Enough already.
Enough.
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 Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them as they've done throughout history over and over again. Enough. Enough to laying down and letting these criminals use us up like slaves.